to do the things of God. We have to learn of him first. Therefore, we can begin to do all the things that he called us to do. We can even cast out demons and devils. We're going through some evil times right now, all over this world, and we've missed the ball on the one big assignment that we're not prepared. This one big assignment is that we were supposed to see this pandemic coming, and we missed the ball. So,
this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but
on a tree
died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Brothers and sisters, this is a relevant word. It is a time in which every believer should mirror that of the psalmist who asks this question. And this is a pertinent as well as relevant question. It was in his day as it is in our day. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is important to see, because in this unrest in which we live, in this without a doubt time of God doing great things and showing us great wonders in the midst of the enemy with all of his tricks and all of his traps, God is still showing the people of God, as he did with his people in biblical antiquity, his grace, his mercy, his favor, his love. He's still doing it today. The psalmist asks three important questions that I find in the text. The first one is actually out of this main question, and it is one, a personal question. What shall I mean? He takes an introspective view of the goodness of God to him. And I think, brothers and sisters, every one of us, every now and then, ought to take a look at how good God has been, and how good God is, and how good we expect God to be to each one of us. And I think from that, we ought to derive a reality that's based in giving God something far deeper than just a surface response. You know, some of us can say thank you, so many of us can say appreciate that, so forth. But when God has been as good to you as he's been to me, that just won't do. It won't do, because there are so many things when you begin to look back over your life and see where the Lord has brought you from, to see what the Lord has brought you through, to see what the Lord has done for you, to you, with you, and all of those other wonderful things he has demonstrated in your life, you can't help but take the praise up. Raise the praise for our God, because he is worthy. So the praise that this psalmist is thinking about is certainly that one that is steeped deeply in this question that goes far beyond a simple thank you or much obliged. Look again, because there is a second question I see in the text, because he says, what shall I render? Render. The word render means to pay back, to give back, to return back, to offer back. In other words, it is a question that begs us to understand the profundity of what the psalmist is saying. It is a probing question, which means that you've got to go way down deep. You have to go to those unpleasant times, those times when that were things you told God you wouldn't tell nobody else, because you couldn't trust anybody else with the deep secrets of your heart, because you couldn't tell somebody because you thought they wouldn't see you the same way. You were too embarrassed or too ashamed to admit or to confess to anyone else what you told God. And then you didn't have to worry about God turning around and telling nobody else. God kept your secret. And then he went deep down, deep inside you, and cleansed you and washed you and changed you as only God could do. There are times you've shared things with God that were so fearful to you that you didn't want other folk to know that you were that afraid. There were times in the midnight hours when your pillow was wet with tears and you silently released them because you didn't want your mate to know that you were crying. But God saw every tear and he caught it in a bottle. And he named every tear and the reason for that tear. God knows. And God gave you the grace to make it through an ungraceful place, through an ungraceful situation, through a situation that only God himself could bring you through. It was a probing question. What shall I render? In other words, what do I have to give back? What do I have to pay back? What do I have to offer back for all of his benefits toward me? How many times has the Lord blessed you and you know, if nobody else knew, you didn't deserve them? Lord, I hate when folks sit up here and act holier than thou when you know just this week you said some things, did some things, acted some ways that was not of God, and now you sit up here all pious looking like he don't have a record of that. God's been good to every one of us. Paul said, if you want to see a sinner, I am chief of sinners, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Ain't nothing I've done. It's been what he's done through me, for me, with me. And so he not only asks a personal question and a probing question, but it's a powerfully purposeful question. Why? Because it requires an action. It requires an action. It requires an answer. It requires an answer. And what God wants us to be able to do is meet him where he has met us. At the point of your burdens with his blessing. I said at the point of your burden with his blessing. When you can meet God at the point of your burden with his blessing, you will break forth, just as the song said, every hallelujah belongs to God. Every glory belongs to God. Every thank you, Jesus, belongs to God. In other words, you recognize if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would not have a reason to open up your mouth. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even have a mouth to open up. And so many times, and I'm in worship and I think about how good God's been to us, and then I know the stories of many of us who've gone through some things, and yet on Sunday morning we act like he ain't done nothing for me. I got news for you. The record is clear. If you won't cry out, he's got some rocks with your name on it. And the rocks will cry out for you. And I got news for you. If ever a rock cries out with your name, shame on you, because God preferred the praise of a cold, hard rock rather than you closing your mouth for the goodness he's done toward you. My brothers and sisters, listen at this, because I want you to see something, and I'm closing. He says in verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What does this mean? I will take the cup of salvation. It means I will take the helping hand of God and call upon his name. When you look at your life and think about the things that God has extended his helping hand out toward you, and picked you up out the muck and the mire, and picked you up from the doldrums of life, and picked you up from situations that you put yourself in, or that you found yourself in, or that you got caught up in, and in spite of all of that, God lifted you up. When you see all of those things God has done for you with his helping hand, where would you be? Forget about the person that you hear in the news. Forget about that person that people are talking about and wagging their tongues about. Think about if people knew, if God had pulled back the covers of your life. Think about if God had shown folk that you're not all that you cracked up to be. Think about if God displayed all of your hidden secrets before the world how you would be if it weren't for his helping hand. Think about this pandemic. If you didn't have God's helping hand, I'm talking about before all of the measures we now have, the masks, the social distancing, the vaccinations, etc. What about God's helping hand? What about when you didn't have money to pay your bills, but God? What about when you got sick and couldn't go to the doctor, but God? What about when the food got low and God sent somebody right on time to be a blessing because you called on the name of the Lord, and right in the nick of time, they showed up with just, but God. There are a thousand or more scenarios you can use in the place of the helping hand of God being there in your life. And then verse 14 says, not only will I take the cup, but I will pay my vows. Now, anytime it comes to pay, Black Baptist folk get quiet. Now, this ain't necessarily talking about money here. I want you to understand the text. He says, I will pay my vows unto who? The Lord. Why? Does anyone know why he says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord? Listen, God didn't ask him to pay it. God didn't tell him, your vow payment is overdue. God didn't send a late notice to his house. God didn't have the Holy Ghost calling him as the collection agent for heaven. The psalmist was so overfilled with joy and gratitude, remembering what Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, it's better not to make a promise than to make a promise and not keep it. How, when, where did he make the vows? Let me just run a reference for you right quickly. Every time the psalmist got in trouble and he said, Lord, if you, I will. You remember those saints used to say, and I came to the Lord, I told him, Lord, if you save my soul, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. You know, it was one of those vows. Every time the psalmist had an issue where he called on the helping hand of God and God showed up, he made a vow, God, I will do this if you step in and straighten out the situation. When his enemies were all around and there to overtake him, he called on the name of the Lord and God brought deliverance. And he said, Lord, if you give me deliverance, I will do this. When he was on his bed of affliction and death was impending, he said, Lord, if you'd heal my body and get me up off this bed, I'll praise you with every breath in me. And he did. And the psalmist is simply thinking, notice the word says, I will pay my V-O-W, what? S, vows, vows. He remembered what he vowed to the Lord. Let me ask you a question right now. How many times have you made vows to the Lord and still yet have not paid them? Lord, if you give me a promotion, I promise you I'll pay my tithe. God, if you bless me with this or with that, I promise I'll do this. God, if you do this for me, I will do that. And you still have not done it. I've got news for you. God has not forgotten the vows that we've made to him. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor a man that he should forget. God is also not a God who forgets the promises he's made to you. And my brothers and sisters, if I were you and I knew the wonderful things God had in store for me, I would not miss the opportunity to pay my vows. What is the vows here that the psalmist is talking about? Well, look at what the Bible says. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And what else? I will pay my vows unto the Lord. What else? Not tomorrow, not next week, not when I get home by myself, not when nobody hears me, not when nobody sees me, not when nobody sees the tears falling from my eye, not when people see me get happy and start dancing and I don't want to be embarrassed, not when I'm here in his presence and his spirit is moving me, will I hold back my praise. My praise represents the vows I made. I'm going to give him the glory for all he's done in his house right now. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. I'm going to do it right now. When I feel it right now. When I'm thinking about it right now. When it's on my heart right now. When the Spirit is moving on me. So many people I've learned don't know how to give God his praise now. Later might be too late. Wait until you get home. An accident could happen. A heart attack could happen. You can't wait when the Spirit brings up to your remembrance, you owe God so much for so much that God has done, and you should give it to him now in the presence of all his people. Here's what I got to ask. If you can't praise him amongst other brothers and sisters who's got something to praise him for, then when and where can you praise him if you can't do it in his house? You see, listen. We used to sing old songs in the old church. Fire keeps on burning. I just can't hold my peace. And somebody would start telling their story, and before they get through their story, somebody over here would say, oh, brother preacher, can I just tell my story? They said, go ahead. And then they get to tell them what the Lord had done for them. And while they were telling it, somebody in the back say, oh, he's been good to me too. You don't know like I know what the Lord, y'all don't have no church, has done for me. Yeah. And the fire would keep on burning. And everybody would tell their story. And my brothers and my sisters, make no mistake about it. If you can't tell the Lord thank you now, and if you can't tell the Lord thank you here, then my question is your praise real? Is your praise genuine? Is your praise authentic? Because I don't know how you feel about it, but the God I serve, he's so good that I don't care where I am. When the Spirit begins to move all over me, if the tears start falling, I just let the tears come on down. If my soul gets happy and my hands want to clap, I just let my hands go on and clap. If I feel like dancing and dancing get in my feet, yeah, Lord, I just let my feet go on and dance, because I've got so much to thank my God for. I'm getting ready to leave you when I tell you there's a story about a six-year-old little girl who had leukemia and an eight-year-old brother. And she was in need of a blood transfusion. And she only needed one more pint of blood. And they searched high and low and could not find a match for that little girl. And yet the mother sat the eight-year-old boy down and said, "Son, I believe that you may be a match for your sister." And so she called the pediatrician and asked whether brother and sister the same blood type. And the pediatrician confirmed that they were. And the mother said to the little boy, "Son, your sister is about to die, and she needs one more pint of blood. And the doctor said that your blood is a perfect match. And what mama won't know is, are you willing to give your sister one pint of your blood?" And the little boy began to wonder, "Lord, what am I going to do? He's only 8 years old. His sister is about to die. And his mother is asking him, does he want to give one pint of blood to his sister?" He said, "Mama, can I think about it and let you know in the morning?" And the mother said, "Yes." The little boy went to sleep that night thinking about his little sister. And early that next morning, the little boy got up and went to his mother's room and said, "Mama, I made up my mind. I don't want my little sister to die. I'm going to go and give her one pint of my blood." And there they went to the hospital, and they had both of them, one on one gurney and the other on the other gurney. And they had them hooked up by IVs, and they ran a connection between the two of them.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things.
pray for this ministry.